You're listening to Kingdom Lives.
We're not theologians by any means. We're just a couple guys that love the Word of God and we're living out our calling.
A salvation testimony and men's topic show, right here from the Central Valley.
And the structure of our marriage was going to fall apart if we didn't do something about it. And my wife suggested we try going to church.
Now let's join our host, Jonathan Olson and Cody Houck.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Kingdom Lives Radio. My name's Cody.
And I'm Jonathan.
So it was been a good week lately, but I wanted to ask you something, Cody. This will kind of lead into our discussion, but do you like to barbecue? You like to grill?
Oh, I love barbecue.
Do you you smoke or you barbecue?
Both, but lately since I've picked up my Traeger grill, I've been smoking things like crazy.
This is not a paid advertisement.
This is not a paid advertisement.
Do you season your meat?
Yes.
Do you have like rubs, you salt, pepper, simple seasonings? What do?
I've got all kinds of different mixes, but salt is key.
Salt is key. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch on today and have a discussion about it, because I've been reading in the book of Matthew and there's a couple things that stood out. I want to kind of cover this episode as what it is in chapter 5 of Matthew, and it's labeled there salt and light. And I kind of wanted to discuss that, but I'm going to read this, and then I'm kind of going to give a little bit of what I initially thought about this before I had ever read the scripture, because it's something that I hear people say a lot, and I heard it growing up a lot too. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It just says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." And then verse 14, and this is verse 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." There's a lot to break out of that. That's three verses in chapter 5. And I think I could probably talk about this for much longer than we have in our episodes. But really, I just kind of want to, you know, talk about that saying that people say, that you are the salt of the earth. I imagine you've heard that before your walk with Christ, that people would say it.
Yeah.
My initial thought has always been that in today's world, that salt is more of something that kind of adds a little bit of bitterness to help with the flavor, that kind of stuff. But for someone to say that you're the salt of the earth, I think is somewhat lost in our language today, because we don't really appreciate the role of salt. But if you look back 2,000 years ago, the role of salt was one of the heaviest hitters in all of the factors of society and civilization back then. It was a very potent thing that was used to bolster economies. It built countries. It started wars. It did all kinds of stuff. But specifically in this scripture here, I think it's referring to a few different aspects of salt. And one is the flavor that it does to things. And then it's got purification properties and sanitizing properties. And if we're to be the salt of the earth, I think that we should be factoring that in. And, you know, I think this applies in our home life. This applies in our social life. If you're the leader of your home, I know my children are young. Yours are a little bit older than mine. My kid follows my lead already. Do you find that your kids try to emulate you?
Absolutely. And both of them take completely separate qualities that I exhibit and mold them into their own.
Right. And so I think when we're supposed to be the salt of the earth in spreading the gospel and evangelizing and that kind of stuff, I think we got to be careful and not do exactly what it says here and allow it to lose its taste. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, if you oversalt your food and all that kind of stuff, it stops having that effect to you. And if you're the salt of the earth and you oversalt your environment, does that cause you to lose effectiveness? And does that cause like the people who follow you as the leader of your home, your children, your spouse, any of that, does that cause, can you over inundate, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're supposed to use wisdom in our words. I think we're supposed to be sparing in the way that we do it, because we don't want to oversalt and cause that flavor to be lost, that flavor of the gospel. Does that make sense? I've been kind of thinking about it and studying it, and it's something that I think we can take for granted and wind up just throwing it all over the place. Every chance we get, every opportunity we get to get in an argument with somebody, we take it. And are we oversalting our environments?
No, that's a great analogy you're using there, Jonathan. So why don't you go into some examples of what that may look like in oversalting in a relationship or a conversation with someone as you're trying to lead them to the Lord?
Right. And that's where I kind of got a lot from the scripture is if we are to be the salt of the earth, we don't want to be oversalting. It seems like in other stuff that I've looked up about this scripture that it is referring to the preservative qualities of salt and the flavoring qualities of salt. So you don't want to oversalt a situation. And if you're the salt, then the world or the person that you're coming in contact with is the thing that is to be salted. And you don't want to come in and I think a real life example would be that if you're trying to come along someone who maybe doesn't walk with Christ or isn't a believer, it may not be completely necessary to throw scripture at every single opportunity that arises itself, but rather we use wisdom and discernment and we use prayer to help guide us so that we can be used sparingly. I think if we're trying to bring a brother or sister to Christ, with a lot of what the scripture says, we walk beside them and we have compassion and love for them. But I don't know that throwing the book at them every single time they have an issue to where we can say, well, you know, if you did this according to the scripture, then your life would have these other. I think that might be situations where we would see that something is being oversalted, and you may actually overuse that to the point to where the person doesn't really want to be in your company that often.
Yeah, and I think there's a two-part approach to being able to do that as well. And one of those ways is you having the knowledge of scripture yourself in order to be able to represent that to somebody in a way that they're going to understand. Right? A practical application of it in a sense. We've talked about it a little bit before amongst ourselves that somebody who doesn't know the language of God and how he talks isn't going to understand the language of God if you're speaking it to them.
Right.
Because they haven't accepted the Holy Spirit, and scripture says that the Holy Spirit's presence is necessary to understand and digest the Word of God.
Yes.
Right? So being able to take that as yourself and represent that in a way to them that they may understand in a more practical sense is one way of gently salting
right.
that person, that conversation in their walk, right? And the other is just to come and walk alongside them and share your testimony,
right?
Which is the foundation of this ministry.
Yes.
Share your testimony with them. Let them see what a walk with Christ looks like and invite them to be part of your life.
Right. You know, I think in an ideal situation, when you walk beside somebody like that, they would almost see that walk that you're on, and they would maybe start seeking that salt on their own instead of you feeling like, oh, well, this is a situation I need to salt it for them. That maybe in walking beside them and living your life in a way that follows the path of Jesus Christ and uses the Holy Spirit to help guide us, they would actually seek the salt and see a situation that, hey, this needs a little bit of your input. You know, you're someone that follows Jesus Christ. You're someone that believes in God. How do you deal with this type of situation? And I've been in situations, and you probably have too, and I think a lot of people have, where somebody who you think isn't a believer or who outwardly proclaims that they don't believe in the gospels will still seek you out and be like, so what do you think about this situation? What do you do when your life does this? or that. And I think those are very prime examples of them reaching for salt to salt their situation. And it's something that I think requires, like you said, it does require the knowledge of the word. It does require that you are relying on God and the Holy Spirit to help guide you. And I think a big part of it that I've seen get overlooked a lot, and I don't want to generalize or anything, but it requires a large level of humbleness to be able to come beside somebody. Because I think one of the issues I always had growing up was the lack of humbleness when it comes to people speaking into my life. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're speaking in the book of Matthew, right? So keeping in the book of Matthew, it tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, right?
Right.
And we key in on that word go. And you look at all nations, we can look at that as every aspect, every area that we have influence in our life. And what does that look like? That's our home. That's our jobs. That's our churches. That's our communities. It's our ministries. It's our kids' sports teams. It's a trip to the grocery store. Right. Go and do it, right? And that was really brought to light for me early on in my walk by my mentor that was walking with me early on. And we were having a discussion one day, and he's like, you know, I never tell somebody this is the position that I have. But I try to live my life in a different way that when somebody has a question, like you're saying, they've seen me act differently or be different in handling a situation. One of the examples he used was he worked in the industrial space for a while. And on lunch breaks, guys eating lunch would sit around the table looking at pornography during their lunch break. And he would separate himself from them. And much like you're talking about oversalting, using the gospel, things of that nature, he would never go and condemn them for doing it. He just wouldn't participate. And then guys slowly started coming and saying, hey, you know, why aren't you hanging out with the guys? You know, this is what we're doing over here.
Right.
And his subtleness in that was, you know, I'm a Christian and it's just not something that I believe in. So now it opens that door to a conversation. But living your life in a way to inspire people to come and ask you why you handle a situation differently, or you find peace in the worst of situations, perceivingly the worst of situations,
yeah,
opens that door for them to come and say, hey, tell me why you're like this.
Right.
And now that's your permission to share your testimony, to share the gospel, to say, I'm a follower of Jesus and this is what he gives me.
You know, I think that's a really good example, because that is exactly one of those situations that I think we would be almost compelled to go and rebuke that if we're in a situation and you see all these guys doing it. And it would be so easy for us to just jump in and be like, you're on a path to hell. Like, this isn't good. What you're doing is destroying your soul. It's destroying your perception of people in the world that are real, and you're distorting it. We have so many different admonishments and rebukes that we could add to that, and then we could verify it with scripture and, you know, play it all on the sexual immorality, and you would be accurate, right? But would you be too salty? Would you do that and their ears would then be shut after that? So instead of someone coming in and being like, hey, why aren't you taking part in this? They would just be like, well, he's going to judge the crap out of you. And, you know, and it's unfortunate that that's the way that we work, but it's also, to me, something that I consider to be an incredible blessing for all of mankind, for that to be outlined in the Gospels, that we are that way. And that's, you know, like, how much wisdom is there in the idea that you are the salt and to be used sparingly? Because that situation does exactly open you up to then share the gospel, share your testimony, share the detriment of what pornography has done in your life and vice versa, and all these other things that are like they are reaching for the salt rather than you offering it every chance. And I think maybe that's a good clarification there, is to come alongside somebody and let them see the way you live your life to where they're then reaching rather than you offering over and over and over again.
And that was a deep conviction that was placed on me, not immediately after that conversation, but the more and further down the road that I've got in my walk, was that it's my job to come alongside the unbeliever and love them and walk with them in a way that reflects Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring that conviction and lead them down that path once they've invited him in.
Right.
But it goes back to being my job to love them, walk alongside them, and get them to even being open to saying, "Oh, okay, God, if you're real, if you're real, show me." That's the first step, right? I'm open to you being here, being existent. What's next?
Yeah.
And once somebody opens their heart to that, God's going to work, and we have to trust that he's going to work in their life.
Yeah. You know, I think we have discussions like this, and I think that a lot of other, you know, fellowship groups and congregations and Christians in general have these types of discussions. And I think our primary focus is to look at how to be used sparingly, how to be a desirable salt and not become so bitter that the taste is lost, right? But I also think it's kind of worth talking about a little bit of the last part of this scripture. You know, after it says, "How shall saltiness be restored once the taste is lost? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Have you seen that happen?
How many times have we had that discussion with amongst ourselves, as well as with other brothers, that you jump into somebody's life or a Facebook feed or whatever it may be, and you immediately start to condemn them and throw scripture at them and tell them that they're going to hell for the way that they are? You've now lost your right to evangelize to that person forever, because they're going to completely shut you out. They're never going to listen to another word that you say.
And in the social media platform, the direct result that typically happens, I do the same thing in certain situations, is I click on that person's name, the little three dots on the right side, and I look at the drop-down menu, and I click that unfollow button. I don't ever see anything they ever post again.
Yeah.
Because, and not necessarily to like Christian brothers and sisters, but somebody that jumps in and tries to take over that situation in that kind of way, I think is a perfect example. When you do that in the name of Christ, that you are oversalting that. And unfortunately, that's going to be the result a lot of the times, is they're just going to unfollow you. They're not going to be able to see any of the powerful things that you may put on social media, or even if you're putting a testimony or something that highlights the love of Christ and the compassion and the mercy that he gives, is all going to be blinded to that person coming from you, not necessarily from the world. I very strongly believe that, you know, God will send another person if that person is in the employ of God to come in and speak into that person's life. But to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet because we oversalted, I mean, that's what it is. You salt meat and it tastes a little better, but then you're like, "Oh, well, it should be a little saltier," and you keep doing it over and over and over. It ruins it. And, you know, I've used the analogy a lot in the past, and the analogy is also found in a lot of stories in the New Testament, is the idea of planting a seed. Right. And I think that can go hand in hand with the being the salt of the earth, is that you plant a seed. You don't plant a seed and then the next day see that there's not a tree there. So you plant another seed and then there's not a tree the next day. So the next thing you've known, you've planted 50 different seeds in the same area, and now nothing's going to grow because there's a competition in that soil. But I think you can directly equate that over to salting too, that you see someone and they need a little bit of evangelism of, like, you know, "Look at what Jesus Christ has done in my life." And they're like, "Oh, well, you know, thank you for sharing that. And then you come back the next day and they're not any different. So you're like, well, hey, you remember I told you what Jesus did in my life. I really thought you were going to change your life based on that. And they're like, well, that's, you know, that's a little forward of you, but okay. And then the next day, no change. And we don't have the patience or the sight of God to come in and just salt once and then wait for them to come back and be like, you know, when you offered that one time, that really stuck in my head and I thought about it again. And now I'm dealing, you know, I just lost my job and I don't know, I'm the provider for my family. I don't know what I'm going to do. Now they're wanting to be salted again. Right. And I know we're saying the same thing over and over a bunch of different ways, but I think it's really important to drive this point home of the difference between a sparing use of salt and too much salt. And, I really think that it's something that we have to pray about. I think it's something that we have to use wisdom and discernment. We have to display that wisdom in our speech. And we have to display that discernment and that wisdom in our character, in the way that we live. And I think that if we do that, and we do it in prayer, and we do it with guidance, and in fellowship and accountability in our own lives, we become this character in Christ that people recognize right away. And they see when they look upon their shelf of seasonings, they know exactly where the salt is. And they can grab it when they need it. And then you can also be there. And it's.
You mentioned the light when we began this as well. And it talks about being a city on a hill.
Yeah.
You're shining that light into those different areas. And when all people can see around them is darkness. And you've been that constant source of light in somebody's life. Where are they going to gravitate to?
Right.
They're going to seek you out and say, hey, here's what I'm dealing with. Can you walk with me?
Right. And I think that's a good segue. And we may have to pick this up in the next episode, but I'm completely okay with doing a two-part episode. But I think that's very important that when you do become that shining light in a space that's dark, it becomes, when someone is lost and realizes how dark it is, you become the only thing they can see. And so they will come to you and they'll, you know, try to get some of that light from you. And I think it's, I think there's a lot of things that we're going to have to unpack in the next episode about how important it is to shine your light in the darkness and not go into a field of spotlights and try to become another spotlight, right? To be, how bright is your light when you're in a well-lit room? And that's what I really want to talk about on the next episode, that is helping us determine where to do our works. You know, do you shine your light in a lit room, or do you go to a room that doesn't have any lights and light it up? And that's really going to contrast with the idea of doing good works and how it can conflict with the idea that you're not supposed to brag about your work, but you are supposed to make your work known. And there's a balance that we have to establish there. And so I think that's going to be really a good conversation that we have. So if you guys want to continue this conversation, this was all over Matthew chapter 5. We started in verse 13, and it's just three scriptures or three verses here that we're trying to unpack quite a bit. So the first one is that we were talking about salt and then how to use that. And so hopefully next week we can talk about being the light of the world. And what does that mean in your walk with Christ and in your efforts to evangelize in his name?
Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait to hop into that and share that next week with everybody. But until then, you guys, we're going to go ahead and close this week up. You can follow us on Facebook at Kingdom Lives. Hop over to our YouTube channel at Kingdom Lives. You can find us at www.kingdomlives.com and also on Instagram at kingdom.lives. So thank you for joining us again on this week's episode of Kingdom Lives, and we will see you next week.
God bless you guys.
Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Kingdom Lives. Don't forget that you can catch us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at Grace 91.1 FM here in Central Arizona, or you can live stream at grace911.com. We're a listener-supported ministry, and you can give to support our ministry at www.kingdomlives.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.